Brother Sam, it is so good to see people that recognize the importance of the hereafter more than the here and now. And to pause on what is otherwise, generally speaking, a very commercial day to make it a spiritual day. People don't even realize that the reason that they're able to have a day called Christmas is because of us as Christians. Because we know the real reason for why we're here. Look, if you will, please, in Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. What should be a familiar story, often glossed over by Bible believers, because we do appreciate the fact that He died for us and was buried and resurrected again the third day. As the old preacher used to say, that day is meaningful to us because that's where we got in. Amen. That day's not the most meaningful to our Savior, nor is it the most meaningful to His Father. In my mind's eye, I wonder what it would be like to be the father waiting for his boy to be born. Gives a different meaning of a waiting room. How He was God manifest in the flesh, yet He was able to separate Himself and be in three places and yet at the same place. I doubt He was up there pacing around while Mary was in travail waiting for the Son of God to be born. But my mind's eye, I wonder, since that's His only begotten Son, which He had never done before. He created man. Very much aware of that, created angels. Very much aware of that. Created worlds and stars, was very much aware of that. And then, having observed the other things, decided of all ways that the Savior should come, He would clothe Himself in flesh, God manifest in the flesh, all God and yet all man. That's an odd thing. Now, I've been around when babies are born, not always up close and personal. On a couple of occasions that's happened purely by accident, not intended. But I've been around when those things occur, and I notice there's always as much anxiety on the part of the father as there is on the part of the mother. It's almost as if when the Lord saw the Lord created and come out as a little baby, imagine what it would be like as a father not being able to hold the child who had left the portals of glory 9 months before, who had appeared many times as a theophany, and now comes down there and he's seeing him for the first time as a little baby. Look, if you will, with me. The Bible says in chapter number 1 of Luke, verse number 26, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Brother Larry, you pray, would you please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Belief in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is imperative for you to understand that it was Him that was born of a virgin. No man's influence came from Him, otherwise the blood wouldn't be pure. Therefore, His death on Calvary would have been the same as the death of many Jews who were being persecuted at the time. His bloodline was a special bloodline. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28 tells us that it is the blood of God's dear Son, the blood of God that runs through His veins. But I want you to pause for just a minute. I see a couple of things just in setting the story up. Before the birth ever occurs, Gabriel's given the dubious task of up in heaven. They're sitting around talking, and I don't think he's there during the planning phase. I think all of a sudden the Lord calls Gabriel in and he says, "Hey, I got a job for you." Gabriel had always heralded messages before. He'd been down to visit Daniel. It wasn't uncommon for him to make a visit to earth. But this was kind of an unusual request. He said, "Here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to go down there and you see that girl Mary down there? Here's what strikes me about Mary. The Bible said, 'Blessed art thou among women.' She's distinguished, but the Bible doesn't say why. The Bible says that even when she was saying, 'Blessed are upon women,' and the Lord's taken notice of you, what we just read there, that she's like, 'Who's he talking about?' I like the fact that Mary doesn't think, 'About time. About time somebody appreciates who I am, what I do.' I mean, who else in Nazareth would be the mother of God but me? I mean, after all, I am Mary." But you don't see her approach that way at all. You don't see Mary as a modern day kind of an individual. She's actually perplexed, like, of all the women you could pick, why'd you pick me? And then she begins to think about it. She goes, wait a minute, there's another problem. There's a purity problem. I'm pure. How is this even going to transpire or take place? She's still thinking in the realm of human possibilities. You know what she's thinking in her mind? She's thinking, okay, kind of like Abraham and Sarah decided to take it upon themselves to take care of a supernatural birth. And so what they did was have the handmaid come in and that kind of, I mean, why would she not think that way? You can't be too hard on her. And she's saying, how could this happen? I've never known a man. Oh, you're a spouse to a man. That probably wouldn't fit nowadays. Nowadays, being a spouse is as much as being married. And nowadays, anyway, lest I digress, could I just say this? Could I just say that by law, she had to be a spouse to him. And then every way except the marital, physical relationship, help me, Lord, that could take place. He was already her husband. It was a done deal. The dowry would have been paid and everything would have been set up. Everybody would have considered Mary's off the market. She's going to be marrying Joseph. Joseph's gone to build a house to get things ready to go, Jewish custom and everything. And then within a year's time come together, and then they were able to have the physical relationship and children and so on and so forth. In the meantime, she stayed there and he stayed there, and then they would come together at the end of that time. And she asked a really pertinent question. I mean, think about it. It's reasonable. How's that going to happen? I've never been with anybody. And he said, the Holy Ghost is going to take care of all of those things. And you're going to remain a virgin unless your mind run in a gutter. But he is going to overshadow you and implant an embryo in there, the Son of God. Well, it doesn't take long before the pumpkin starts to grow. No matter how bad you try your best to hide things, it doesn't take long before it doesn't really. I put myself in the position of Joseph. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 1, if you're there, now the birth of Jesus, verse number 18, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, they're engaged. Before they came together, you want to make sure you get that taken out of all the other Bibles. Before they came together, the Bible says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, you say what you want to say. You're a spouse to this woman. She's in the same city where you are. And then unbeknownst to you, she winds up with child. Can you imagine what an all-scouring and outcast she had to have been, not just to her own family, but to the people in town, but even more so to her espoused husband? I don't know how you would feel about that, but would you not think it a bit odd if she came in and said, now listen, I haven't been with anybody and I'm still a virgin, but I'm going to have the God's son. You know, the promised Messiah that's promising about 400 prophecies in the Old Testament. Yeah, I'm going to be the vessel that he chose to and the seed's already growing and nothing we can do about it. And hope you're good with that, Joseph. I don't know. I can't pull away from the human element there that I got to say, help me, Jesus. I mean, that would be a hard thing. I mean, would it not be hard on your reputation? I mean, we tend to focus a lot on Mary here. There's not a lot said about Joseph other than the Bible says he was a just man. And rather than to have her put away or have charges brought against her, you know what he does? He keeps it private and he keeps her. That's before the angel spoke to him and said, you don't have to worry about it, Joseph. Everything's going to be okay. She's with child of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to be a surrogate dad to this child being born. You're going to have the Son of God in your presence, in your household. He's going to be raised under your tutelage for 30 years. You're going to be the one that trains him and teaches him and shows him things like that. I would sit down, I would think in my own mind, I don't know, I'd probably wind up in the nut house. Not only do I now have, wouldn't you think I ate too much pizza, I must have been smoking dope or something must have happened. If in a dream, all of a sudden, think about it, there's no record of him ever having a dream before, that dream must have been pretty convincing. I've had some dreams before that were real, but when I woke up, I realized they were just a dream. And he woke up and he's like, yeah, well, that's some more dream. Doesn't say he dreamed it and he dreamed it and he dreamed it and he dreamed it and dreamed it and dreamed it and dreamed it until it became real. The Bible said he dreamed it. And guess what he did? He took action on it. Look right there in verse number 19. The Bible says this, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things. So can I say this? Before he knew that she was with child of the Holy Ghost, he gives her the benefit of the doubt. He must have believed what she said. There must have been something about Mary that was able to convince her when nobody else could convince him. Think about it now. You're a spouse wife, the one you're engaged to. You put a ring on her finger in modern vernacular. Sits down with you and says, hey, I just want you to know I haven't been with anybody and I'm carrying God's son. And you as the man say, I believe you enough, I'm going to put you away privately before the angel comes and tells you what's really going on. Yeah. Most people don't give Joseph much credit. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know that I have the kind of character that boy did. But there must have been something convincing about Mary's story. There must have been something real. There must have been something that made him think there's something here that makes me want to believe that she's telling me the truth about this. Let me ask you this question. If you found yourself in the position of Mary, would you say, Lord, why me? And if you found yourself in the position of Joseph, would you give him the benefit of the doubt? That's perplexing to me. And yet after he makes that commitment, the Bible says the angel came to him and said, hey, don't be afraid. Everything's good. Now, take your Bible, if you will, and turn back over to the book of Luke. Later in the book of Matthew, you know what he'll tell you? He'll say, before they came together and after the baby was born. So we know that Mary wasn't a perpetual virgin. We just simply know that Joseph didn't have anything to do with the first birth. But I got to thinking about this. There's 9 months in between time. This will probably be a little close to the cotton, but can you just let me be kind of real for a second? You know how we get very excited when we find out that everything's done in the proper fashion and everything's done the right way, and we find out that our women, one of our girls, is pregnant and going to have a baby? And we're excited because they're married and it all fits with how we think it ought to be done. But can you imagine for just a minute how word got out in that town? And they say, wait a minute. I wondered if in Nazareth there was a lot of rumors running around. I wonder if they were on their, whatever their idea of social media was in those days, if their sewing circle or whatever got together and say, hey, I don't know if you know, but Mary's going to have a baby. I don't know how far along she is, but you know, her and Joseph, something must have happened. Now, they're keeping it private, trying to keep it a secret, but we know when people do that, there's probably something that went on and they came together and broke God's law. I just wonder if in modern world, if we would look at Mary like we look at her generally going, boy, blessed art thou among women. But look at what comes with that blessing. She winds up having to suffer the ridicule and the pain of being falsely accused of being with somebody when she knows she's completely innocent. Can you imagine what that must feel like? How would you, if you were a woman and you were pregnant and God had spoke to you in a dream and told you, literally in this case here in the book of Luke, you find out the angel came up to her and spoke to her. And when he spoke to her, he said, yeah, you're blessed and the Lord's chosen you. You're highly favored among women. And she's like, who in the world are you talking to? I'm talking to you. You're going to have a baby. Of all the women in the entire world, you're it. And she's like, okay, well, I don't know. Would you think she might have been a little bit concerned, perplexed? Do you think she went home immediately and says, hey, Mom, Dad, just want you to know, before long, within 9 months, you're going to see some things here. I just want you to know right off the bat. I would say she probably did not say anything to anybody until she absolutely had to say something to somebody. I would say she stayed quiet. And then all of a sudden, Mama sees her standing at the vanity one morning and Mary, and she tries, and yes, Mother, you've been eating too much goat's cheese or something? What in the world? Mama, we need to talk. Okay, Mary, come on in here. And they sit down, maybe they got a cup of tea. Having one of those mother-daughter chats, you know. Can you imagine how it must have sounded to Mary's mother? Mama, I'm gonna have the Son of God. Instant committal. Yep. Baker Act. Fourth floor. That's what it was in my day. Like, you're gonna have. Gotcha. Now you're trying to cover up for somebody else. Can you imagine what begins to run through Mama?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm wondering who that was. Because I've been keeping tabs on Joseph. Who you been with? Did you ever think of those things? No, Mama, I'm telling you the truth. Now, see, we view the story from the back end, back all the way through. So we've already seen how everything plays out. I'm talking about 9 months of questions, 9 months even after the baby is born. People are still questioning. Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. As a matter of fact, Herod is not even sure. He's looking for a physical kingly line to come along. That's why he wants to kill all the babies in Jerusalem and all the coasts that are around there. Even he doesn't believe. Do you realize that people are in the same position today on this Christmas morning here in 2022? There are people that still, just as they did all of those years ago, they're like, yeah, there wasn't really a virgin birth. That just doesn't happen. You know, God did something supernatural, but it had to have come with some ridicule. I just imagine people probably shunned him. They probably separated from him. They probably were like, hey, if that's going to be you, we would never do that. We don't want anybody to know who you are. I would say they were probably put out of the public eye, even if they had not been so by Mother Mary and by Joseph and the other one, I mean by Mary's mother, and put aside. Why? Because of the ridicule, the pain that would have been associated with being pregnant out of wedlock. Man, are you kidding me? They would stone people for that in those days unless they were prostitutes. The Lord did nothing better than put her in that position where all of that was cast upon her. I'm saying that blessed art thou. There's more to this story. Look at the faith Mary had to trust that she was doing what God wanted her to do, and nobody until Joseph got told was in on the story. And God didn't go out of his way to let people know. He didn't herald the coming anywhere except in the scriptures. Even Zechariah, who had gone in and was trying to get message from the Lord there about that's Elizabeth, her husband, and that's John the Baptist that would have been his surrogate dad. And guess what winds up happening? He comes in there, he offers the sacrifice, and the Lord speaks to him and said, you're going to have a son. He says, I'm old, said, I've been through this with Abraham, and I've been through this with Sarah, and you're going to do it. And strikes him dumb, doesn't let him even tell about it. He says, not only that are you going to have John the Baptist, he's going to be the one that comes before the virgin born man. And guess what? His name, he says to Zachariah, says his name, is, or her name's Mary. She's a spouse of Joseph. Tells him exactly who it is. And then he's not allowed to tell anybody. He's struck dumb. Imagine that. You come out of being worshipped and served the Lord. You look at your wife and she's on aged up there a little bit and looks at Elizabeth there, who would have been the cousin, not the sister of Mary. He looks at her and says to her, says, you're going to have a baby. What's wrong with you, old man? You lost your mind? You've been drinking the fermented hooch in there at the Lord's Supper or something? What is wrong with you? That ain't going to happen. But he's not able to say anything. He has to keep his mouth shut. Are you with me? 9 long months before a baby's born. And then on top of all that, during her pregnancy, she's starting to swell and having everything that goes with having a baby, none of which she is familiar with, none of which she has ever experienced. And all of a sudden, a rule comes down, a law comes down from Caesar Augustus, because the man on the throne has heard there's going to be a prophecy of a child being born. And so guess what happens? He says, you know what I think I'm going to do here is I'm going to get him to go back because it's going to come from the line of David according to the prophecy. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have everybody go back. I'm going to find out where that baby's at and who's going to have it. And they had to load up and go back to where Joseph was from, which happened to be Bethlehem. Now, this is an important thing because in the Old Testament, it predicted he would be born in Bethlehem. So the Lord used a pagan king, as I said in Sunday school, with a pagan rule in order to accomplish what he intended to accomplish. I just wondered, I said this morning, that it'd be interesting if Joseph was one of the rabble rousers. He was one of the patriot movement. He's one of those people that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. If he said, I don't care if they tell me to go pay taxes, I ain't paying taxes, and I'm not going back where I came from to have them put me on a census and to be able to tell who and where I'm from and so on and so forth. I'm just not doing it. I wonder how the Lord would have got her where she needed to be in order for her to have the baby. But Joseph said, we got to go. Now look, she didn't get in her Cadillac or her Eldorado or her Tahoe or her Denali or her Bentley or her Mercedes. She didn't get in a private jet. She got on a donkey. And she's pregnant. And apparently she's pretty swole up because the Bible says that once they get into town, the days of her bearing the child are accomplished, and she's about ready to drop when the baby, about ready to have the child when they get there. I mean, I don't know. I've been around when I've seen women getting close, and you don't want to get too close when they're getting close. You can get within their eye shot, their mouth shot, their ear shot, and they can kind of let you have it. You say, why? They are experiencing something that we as men don't know anything about. And the idiots that we are, we try to, like, we think we're comforting them. And all they're thinking is, get a little closer, get a little closer. I'll stick a fork in your eye. Right? And you're holding their hand and they're, you're like, baby, I'm here to help you. Yeah, well, you've done all the help I can take right now, right? She's getting close, and she's a blessed woman, but riding on a donkey, I'm thinking, man, she has got to be miserable. I don't know if she's panting or breathing by the time they get into the city. And Joseph, I think, is exasperated. He's a just man, but I mean, a man can only take so much. Not only are they laughing him to ridicule where he came from, but now he's going in there. And then I guarantee you, Mary probably said to him, did you make reservations? I mean, when the edict came out that we had to go back to Bethlehem where you were hatched, did you call somebody in your family and say, you got a spare room? Do you have an Airbnb? Did you make reservations? You You say, oh, preacher, that didn't happen. See, y'all don't humanize it enough. You're talking about a pregnant woman on a donkey. And you're thinking, she's like, oh, Joseph, I just am so much in love with you. The women I've seen that are with child to this point, with one exception, who literally laughed the entire time, but it was her eighth, which I did not know until after it was hatched out. And that's why it was kind of like, oh, I've done this a bunch of times. I'm like, I haven't ever done this before. Could you just wait till rescue gets here? One time they were late, a little too late. It's like, I just didn't know what to say. I was like, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. And that made it worse. And then she really started laughing. And that doesn't help. The contractions increased. And about the time rescue came flooding in the door, I'm like, oh, man, I thought the Calvary had arrived. I'm going out the door saying, thank you, Jesus. And she comes out with it under an alarm on the thing, and she's laughing. She said, you're funny. I said, I'm glad they got here on time. What would you do? Anyway. And I find the third thing interesting in the story is that it wasn't just Joseph that didn't make reservations. God didn't make reservations for his own son to be born. He filled up all the rooms everywhere else, and there was only one place left for a lamb to be born. And God used all the closed doors to point to an open door. There is no way any man with any sense would have said, baby, we're going to have a baby and we're going to have it in a barn. You've lost your mind. I don't care if you're a midwifer or any of that other kind of stuff and going to have them in a swimming pool or whatever you're going to do and all that other kind of stuff. You're going to do something to try to make special arrangement. This baby is coming, ready or not. I don't even know that she knew the moment of the conception so that they could time out the days. I just know that all of a sudden it showed up. She's all of a sudden waking up in the morning and not feeling so good. And all of a sudden she's sweating for no reason and she's not going through menopause. And she's thinking, man, I'm feeling changes and hormones are bouncing all over the creation. I don't even know what all this is. She finally goes to her mom and says, Mom, what is all this kind of stuff? She said, girl, I don't know. I've never had no baby that was brought on by God. I couldn't tell you. And they show up there and they go and bang on the door. I find the third thing, like I said, interesting is there was no room for the Son of God to be born. And sometimes at Christmas, you know what happens? There's no room for Him anymore. We don't make the room for Him anymore. So, yeah, we got a barn. If you knew that the Son of God was going to be born, wouldn't you do everything you could to make a way? And yet, you know what He did? He fixed it. We're just common, ordinary people. He's in a barn. We're a bunch of animals. By the way, that's what Gentiles are, is animals. You got to take your place among the animals. You can't get it from the palace or from the porch. You got to be able to get it from down in a barn. And one of the guys, nameless, I bet he's glad. He said, I don't have anything else, but I got a barn. I bet he's glad that he gave that barn up. Yeah. I got a cow shed out here. I got a sheep shed out here. I got a place out there. That's all I got. Everything is full in the town, full to the brim, no room at all. And guess what happens? Even God Himself didn't make special provision. I mean, if you were God, wouldn't you think, I don't know, Marriott, Ritz-Carlton, something? I mean, best of doctors, best of surgeons. Nothing in that passage says anything at all about there being a pediatrician or a midwife or anybody else on standby. Guess who is fixing to birth the baby? Right. Joseph. Right. Now, boys, if you think you got that down pat, I mean, all of a sudden, you tell your wife, baby, I got this. I read it on WebMD. I know how to do this. I've watched the YouTube. Here's you, babe, I got YouTube right here. It don't look the same, but I think we're good here. He's crowning. That foot ain't supposed to be here. Wait a minute. It's backwards. No, hold on here a minute. Wait. I mean, there's nothing said about that.
See, you don't even think. It's like Joseph is there. There is no spotlight. There's no surgical lighting. There's none of those fluorescent rooms in the birthing room and all that other. There's none of that that's there. It's dark and there's animals. And you know what comes with animals. And you don't want a baby born in a place like that. How filthy. Joseph's like, oh, I don't know what to do. She goes, you better do something. Here it comes. And he's like, but it's dark. I can't see. And about that time, the Lord said, do you need a little light? And Joseph says, as a matter of fact, sir, I could. He goes, okay, well, hang on. And maybe a little hole there over the manger. The star of Bethlehem shines down through there. And Joseph looks up and said, boy, I'm going to tell you what, man. Right on time. And he said, well, I would like for the light of the world to be born. Preacher, that's ridiculous. Oh, I'm not done yet. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes no human sense whatsoever. This is why people don't understand it, because you wouldn't do it that way. Neither would I. But they're in a position now where Joseph, all of a sudden, he comes out after he's done. He tightens his robe up a little bit, wipes it down, and he said, go ahead and put obstetrician by my name. I know to have babies, and maybe the Lord later on said, hey, Joseph, remember when I came out? Remember, I was God manifest in the flesh, and even though I couldn't talk, and all you could do is hear me cry and coo and all that, I heard what you said, obstetrician. I want you to know I was coming whether you were there or not. I pretty much hatched out myself. Didn't really need you helping me. Yes, sir, Lord, you're right. I didn't mean to be taking credit for something that occurred supernaturally. He's a just man. But he's a human being. And the baby's been born. And guess what? Nobody in the town is shouting. Nobody is singing. Nobody is ringing bells. The angels are not over the manger. The magi, the kings, they don't come for 3 years. They come to a house later on, and then that happens right before they go to Egypt and hang out there till Herod's dead, and then they get ready to come back up, and they're going to go, and the Lord said, no, you better go to Nazareth. Don't go back to Bethlehem. They're going to still try to get... This happens after all the babies 2 years and under have been killed, and now Herod is dead, and his son has taken the throne. All of that stuff takes later on. That's when the magi show up. They had a baby. What did they have? Swaddling clothes. And Joseph wraps him up, puts him in a little burrito. That's what I call him. I mean, they've been confined in a womb, and I don't know why it is that when they're born, I'm sure there's a reason to it, and I'm not a doctor. I'm just simply saying, and then they bring them out there, and then they wrap them up in a little burrito. Like, it's supposed to make them feel... I'm like, if I've been confined all this time, could I at least have my arms free? Could I at least kick? Why do you think they kick when they're in there? They're like, let me out. You think Jesus was any different? You think he's in the womb and he's like perfectly at peace and he's in there reading his King James while... I think some of you think that. He's kicked up. He's kind of dark in here. Turn on the light like you did with Daniel. Yeah, I'm just waiting. I got to wait 9 months to get this thing ready. All of eternity is clothed in the flesh here. But in the meantime, boy, I'm going to tell you what. Moses sure messed up that Pentateuch. We need to change this and change that and put the anti-P note here. And he's got that wrong in the Hebrew. It needs to be this way in the Greek. And all that. He wasn't correct in papers. He's a baby. And now he's here. And there's no trumpets. And there's no fanfare. And there's no parties. But there was in the same country.
Yes, amen.
Some shepherds. Amen. Doing what? What they knew to do. Where would you think you'd find a shepherd? Tending sheep. Listen, this ties in with Sunday school. Can you bear with me for just a minute? You know what happened? He appeared to the people that were doing what he had called them to do. They're tending sheep. Do you know where David was when Nathan came by to anoint him as king? Oh, he was in Jesse's house waiting for the preacher to show up. No, he was out tending sheep. You know what David did after he was anointed as a king? He's like, I need to get back to my sheep.
You know where Moses was when the Lord spoke to him the second time around? He was out tending sheep. See, it just goes to show you. It just goes to show you that if you just do what you know to do, you might be surprised one day the Lord walks by and says, "Hey, unto you, unto you, unto you. Me, a shepherd, unto you." Amen. Was born this day. Do you know that personal testimony, that personal vocal response, that personal invitation is still there today? I like how it's written. You know what he says? Unto you is born this day. Unto me? Yeah, unto you. But I'm not a shepherd. You're a human being, aren't you? I came for everyone. I didn't come for just Mary, Joseph, and his family to bless that family. I'm Emmanuel. I'm the God of all gods. I am the King of all kings. And I'm here for unto you.
Amen.
Man, the reason that Christmas should be special is not because of the gifts and some idiot coming down a chimney, which if that were to happen, he probably should meet his demise. I'm just saying.
Amen.
It'd be like Chicken Neck. He went down a chimney one day and he didn't get out, and so they turned on the boiler and Chicken Neck became chicken dinner. But that's what you get for going down somebody else's chimney. Why you gotta say stuff like that? Oh, it's true. I was there. They pulled him out with wrecker hooks. Gives new meaning to barbecue, but at any rate. That's bad. You have to cut that out, please. For unto you. For unto you. Is born this day.
Amen.
Looking out in 2022.
Yes, sir.
He says unto you. I came here to be born for you. I know it doesn't stop at his birth, but the "for unto you" still goes on. I came here to be born, to live, to die, to be buried, resurrected again the third day, for unto you. I didn't come here to get gifts given to me, though they were 3 years later. I came as a gift to you. For unto you, the greatest gift ever given, is born this day. Unto who, Lord? We're a bunch of shepherds. We're not kings. We're not princes. We're not the prosecutors and the procurers of other things. Lord, we're just shepherds. I mean, we're what everybody else does that can't do anything else. Of all of the people that he could have appeared to first, he appeared to a bunch of shepherds out in a field out there keeping watch over their flocks. He didn't even appear to all the townspeople. They didn't have any room for him. And he goes out there in an angel. I don't know how he appears as a 33-year-old man, I would imagine. Probably clothed in light. And the first thing they were recognized is, this is unusual. And the natural response is I should run. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, fear not. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you with me? The Bible said their response was a natural response. What is it? You know what I find out? I find that sometimes the first time that people meet Jesus, their first response is, I got to get out of here. I'm afraid of what he's going to do. I'm afraid of what he's going to say. I'm afraid of what it's going to cost. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. And we want to run. And you know what the angel said? I think he just said unto them in a very calm, not a panicky tone. I think he said literally, fear not.
Amen.
But then he follows it up with a great message. For behold, I bring you good tidings. You know what I find secondly in my subpoint here? You know what I find secondly? I find oftentimes when people think when they hear from God, it's only tragic, despondent news. They're expecting the worst. Oh, it's the Lord. Here comes judgment. Here comes trouble. Here comes problems. Here come things. Fear not. How do you know? Because of what they're thinking. Behold, I bring you good tidings. I'm not here. Now you're appearing. Because in the Old Testament, when an angel appeared, in most of the cases, it's like, there's fixing to be trouble. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I like this, which shall be to all people. Okay. You got my attention. What is going to be there? A baby? They got to be thinking, now wait a minute. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swan. Wait a minute. We're looking for a king on a horse to come in and to kick Rome off the throne. Their preconceived notion is when their Messiah showed up, it would be a full-grown man in a personages of a man that would be God, yes, maybe manifest in the flesh, but as a man ready to take control of things and in a hurry to get things done. But to come as a baby and have to wait until he grows up in order for him to do things prolongs what they want to see him come for. He said, hey, he's a baby. He came in under the radar. No fanfare, nothing major occurred. But he's over there in a manger, and I'm going to give you dibs. You want a first look? You get to see the king before he's anointed king by the rest of the world. Would you like to see that? You know what they say? I think we better check this out. And the odd thing is to me, because the shepherd is very, very, very connected to his sheep. He's very protective of his sheep and those kind of things. And what I think is odd is they just leave the sheep. They don't leave it in charge of anybody. They're just kind of like, you know what? We need to go see this. And one of them must have said, how are we going to find him? I mean, Bethlehem is a big place. Now think about this for a minute. Where would you look for him? If you were looking for the baby that was the Messiah, the King of the world, to be born as the Son of God, even though you'd been looking for him, where would you be looking for him? Wouldn't you think you'd go to a church? Wouldn't you think you'd go to a temple? Wouldn't you think that maybe you'd go to whoever the most wealthy individual in the town was? Wouldn't you go to the finest hospital around? Wouldn't you look for whoever it is in the headlines? So-and-so obstetrician, so-and-so pediatrician, met by the surgical team of so-and-so and so-and-so with the best nurses and the best doctors, and they're up here at Bethesda, and they're on the top floor in the VIP floor. I mean, isn't that... Who would expect to find the Son of God in a barn with a bunch of animals and nobody but mama and daddy there? And the Lord said, well, I got a way to help you. Just follow the light you have. You'll know when you get there. And that star is up there. The Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. I don't know what that choir must have sounded. It must have sounded like y'all singing this morning. Brother Sam had you stirred up this morning. Angels were singing. The people were shouting and the shepherds were going. And you know the story. I think literally the lights like this in front of them. And they just keep taking a step and the light keeps going ahead. And the minute one of them says, I think we should turn right here, the GPS says, and all of a sudden it gets dark right there. You better get back on the track. And the light goes back over here and they keep going. And all of a sudden the light stops. And the light of the world matches with the light of the star. And all of a sudden the two become one together. And the Lord says, there he is. And they walk in there. How would you act? Could I say this to you about the shepherds? They came empty-handed. They didn't have anything to bring. They knew that they were going to go worship the Son of God that had just been born. They had been told that and who he was. There was no question about the message. They must have believed it because they acted on it. But guess what? They came like you come at salvation. I don't have anything. You mean you came to visit the baby and you didn't at least bring a candy cane or a rubber cigar for the mama and the daddy? You have to say mama nowadays because mama smoke them as bad as daddies do. You mean you didn't bring anything for the coronation day of this? No. We just left the fields where we were watching over our flocks and we just came quick as we heard the news. Amen. We just wanted to see him. Amen. I don't know what it must have been like. You know how generally women, I think, rightfully so, they're real protective, but especially the first one. By the time you get in your second and third one, it's kind of, you don't care if they eat dirt. You don't worry about germs. They drop it. You got like, you know, the first one's born. It's a 1 second rule. It's like, oh my God, it's dirty. Shh, you've been in the sterilizer. You got all this special microwave equipment to make sure everything's clean. And it's been down there for, how long has that been down there? I don't know. Mama, think a spell. Yes. Oh, it's fine. Here, you know. Right? But that first one, it's, everybody's got cooties and all that. Now, he's bringing shepherds from in the field. I'm almost done. He's bringing shepherds from in the field. Can I say this? They didn't stop to wash their hands and to use the bactericide on their hands before they came in and put on a mask. They walked in right out of the field dealing with sheep into a place that was full of sheep and everything that goes with sheep. And here in the place where the sheep eat is a baby. Where the sheep eat is a baby. The bread of life is laying in the manger. Amen. Where the sheep eat. Amen. I wonder how Mary reacted. Maybe her faith was so great that she realizes, hey, if this is God, I guess he can protect himself from germs. If this is God, I guess he doesn't need me to do anything except what he tells me. And the shepherds came down and they said, oh man, of all the people that could have shown up, we expected the world to erupt and the headlines to read, the Messiah has been born and we're going to get our time in the spotlights. It didn't happen. The shepherds went and saw him. And the event, as chronicled in your Bible, it doesn't even get noised abroad in the town. It's like, you say, why? Because he only appears to those that are looking for him.
That's good.
And they were right there where people could see him. It's just another woman with a baby at tax season. Well, you know what happens? They stay there long enough, the word gets back to Herod, and Herod says, I'm going to kill what he sees as somebody that's going to take over the throne. The Magi come by with gold, silver, the frankincense. And after they get done with that time, the angel comes to Joseph and says, you better hightail it out of here. And they do, and a tragic event occurs in Bethlehem. Every child, male child, 2 years of old age and under, and in the coasts also, were put to the sword. That's a terrible tragedy. Yes. Now, lest you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, if that happened, how cruel of God to do that? Well, every one of them's right up there with him. So you have to think in an eternal mindset before you go that way. And then they go down in Egypt. So here's the culmination of the whole story. They found him being born to somebody they didn't expect. Could I say this to you as Mary? Shouldn't it be the same thing, the response that Mary had when they said, you're going to have a child, Son of God? Shouldn't your response be, who am I that he'd save me? You are highly favored. Lord, I'm clothed in the own rags of my own self-righteousness. I'm no good. Why would you come? You say, what's happening? You get born again. And you get clothed with his righteousness. Shouldn't your response be that of Mary's? And shouldn't there also be something in the world that looks at you as if something's strange about you? Something's weird about you? Something has come over you that's made you different than the rest of us. Shouldn't some people in the world see us a little bit as an outcast? And shouldn't we be willing to have the character that Joseph says, and hey, I'm going to keep you private from all the rest of the things because I care enough about what he did for me, not what he did for the rest of the world. But preacher, he died for everyone. And you are his messenger. some people, all of Jesus Christ they ever see is you. Would they see Mary in you? Lord, I can't even believe you'd save a wretch like me. Have you ever paused at Christmas time to give Him the gift of gratitude? Have you ever paused just to say, Lord, you know something? I wouldn't really have anything at all to celebrate if it wasn't for you. I'm still awestruck, Lord, that you would see fit to have me born in the United States and give me an opportunity to trust you. I dealt with a fellow about 3 weeks ago. He's pretty despondent about some things that happened in his past. And I got to tell you, in listening to his story, justifiably so. And the only thing I could give him was this. I said, I honestly empathize with what you're saying. I have nothing I can say that justifies how you were treated and what occurred to you. But I can say this. Because you were born, you have an opportunity to be born again.
Amen.
And because of the pain and stuff that you've endured, you met Jesus Christ. And that pain made you seek after some help. And it came from finding Jesus Christ. And as a result, it may be rough here and it may continue to be rough, but it will not be rough hereafter.
Amen.
So you have now an eternity that will be more blissful than anything you could possibly imagine. And you'll be thanking God that in spite of your trouble, you were born. Because you got the opportunity to be born again.
Amen.
You ever pause to just be humbled by the fact that God would see fit to save a wretch like me and you? I mean, really see yourself as that wretch? Not, well, I'm a wretch, preacher, but not like some of them. I'm not saying I'm a wretch, but I'm a little wretch. No, we're all wretches. And if it hadn't been for God coming as a little baby,
amen,
virgin born, they would have all doubted His heritage, His lineage, if He'd have just appeared on the scene. They would have thought He was an angel or something, but to allow Him to be clothed in the body of a human being and to be born just like the Bible said He was going to be born, and then to wait 30 years, before He started His walk toward Calvary for you and me in 2022. That's why we celebrate Christmas.
Amen. Amen.
For unto you is born this day. Listen, I know the exact date is not known. I know I might could get it figured out in September, October, and go back that many years and give you a date and so on and so forth. This isn't about that. This is about for unto you. It's to remember that He came and He endured and He never one time faltered or questioned what He came for. He said, why did He come? To please the Father and to get you. And if you don't know Him, you know what you can do? You can meet Him today. So, preacher, I just came today for a Christmas service and it's what you do on Christmas time. Yeah, but there's a reason we do it. It's a reason we do it. It's not for giving gifts and hanging hearts and putting up trees and all that kind of stuff. It's because of Him we even have this. So if you don't know Him, you know what I hope you'll do? I hope you know what you say. I'd like to meet the baby. Well, here's the bad news. He's not a baby anymore. Well, but preacher, you've introduced me to the baby. Yeah, but that was the beginning. 33 years later, He went to Calvary's cross. Not that far from Bethlehem. Jerusalem, just a little south of Bethlehem. Where He was born, He was literally within just a few miles of where He would die. Up on a hill shaped like a skull. He carried a cross. They nailed Him to it. I don't know, but I think when they began to cry, you know, He says to the women that pick Him up there at the bottom, down when He falls down, He says, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves. This is my coronation day. This is what I was born for. Weep for yourself. Don't weep for me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I was born for this purpose. And if you want to find Him today, you have to see Him as a resurrected Son of God who died in your place. Not just born. Died in your place to relieve you of the burden of your own sins so that one day when you die, after you're born again here, guess what will happen? You'll be resurrected to newness of life. You say, how quick does it happen? just like that. There's no travailing in birth. There's no somebody screaming and hollering and ranting and raving. It's the second you ask Him to save you. Just like that, it's instantaneous. And if you don't have that, you know what? You don't have much to celebrate. You really don't. I don't blame you for being bummed out at Christmas time. You don't have anything to celebrate. But we may not have anything, but we got Him.
Amen.
Father, I pray You bless Your word this morning. I pray, Lord, we'll ponder, consider, think about not just the things that Mary and Joseph went through and may have pondered and considered and thought about all the days of their being. I can't even imagine, Lord, what that had to have been like for them. But Lord, it's even more magnificent that they got the privilege of seeing You, and we have not seen You, yet we believe. And we believe in the virgin birth, and we believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection. Would You help us, Lord, as this day draws to a close, to ponder, to think about the magnanimity, the wonder, the splendor of the fact that You would come for people like us. Leave us around long enough, should have destroyed the world long time ago, shouldn't have recreated even after Noah's flood. But Lord, that we might just be awe-inspired and look back and think, man, He could have ended it before I ever got a chance to get in and never even would have been born, but think that we've been born and that because of You, we've now been born again. We pray, Lord, these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.